You're listening to Awaken to Deliver, a podcast from Awakened Bible Ministries, created to inspire believers to wake up to God's truth and live boldly for Christ. Today, Jeff Fish continues our series on the Trinity by focusing on the oneness of God. Before we can understand three persons, we must grasp that Scripture never wavers on this truth. There is only one true God. Our key verse for today comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, which says, "Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." And now, let's join Jeff for today's message.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Awaken to Deliver. Yesterday, we began our journey into the Trinity by asking the question, what is the Trinity? We laid the foundation that the Bible reveals one God who exists eternally as three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But before we can really dive deep into the distinctions of the Godhead, we have to start here, the unity of God. Because if we miss this, we'll slide into one of two heresies. Either dividing God into three separate beings, or blending him into one person who only wears different masks. Neither of these are biblical. The Bible shouts this truth from the beginning to the end. There is one God, and there is no other. So let's begin with the Shema, Israel's daily confession. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 is known as the Shema, and it says, "Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." The Hebrew people would recite this morning and evening. It was more than a verse, it was their anthem. It defined their identity in a world surrounded by polytheism and idol worship. Egypt had its pantheon. Canaan had its Baals and its Asherahs. Babylon had its gods of power and pleasure. But Israel declared, "No, the Lord alone is God." And that confession set them apart. It was their spiritual backbone. And it's just as important for us today in a world that is filled with modern idols, false religions, and counterfeit spiritualities. The Old Testament is full of declarations of God's unity. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 5 says, "I am the Lord, and there is no one else. There is no God except me." Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6 says, "This is what the Lord says, He who is the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of armies, I am the first and the last, and there is no God beside me." Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods beside me." Over and over, the prophets and the law remind God's people that there aren't multiple deities vying for attention. There's only one God, the creator of heaven and earth. And yet, in the very same scriptures, we start seeing glimpses of plurality within that oneness. Plurality hinted in the Old Testament is Genesis chapter 1, verses 26, where it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, according to our likeness." Genesis chapter 11, verse 7, at the Tower of Babel, God says, "Come, let us go down and there confuse their language." Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah hears the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Notice that singular and plural in the same breath. One God speaking as us. It's not angels. Angels don't create. Angels don't send. This is God revealing even in the Old Testament that within his oneness, there is community, fellowship, plurality. And when we move into the New Testament, this truth does not disappear. It gets sharper. In Mark chapter 12, verse 29, Jesus himself quotes the Shema, "Hear, Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one." Jesus doesn't erase the oneness of God. He affirms it. And in James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder." Even demons know there is one God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "For there is one God and one mediator also between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus." The apostles never taught three gods. They never preached polytheism. They held fast to the Shema, while also revealing the fullness of God as Father, Son, and Spirit. So why does this unity matter for us today? Well, let me bring this home for us. The unity of God is not just a theological concept. It's a foundation for your faith. If God is not one, then he is divided. And if he is divided, he is unstable. And if he is unstable, he is not God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, sons of Jacob, have not come to an end." James chapter 1, verse 17 says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." The oneness of God means his character never changes. His word never fails. His promises don't expire. The God who saved yesterday saves today. The God who healed yesterday heals today. The God who delivered yesterday delivers today. The devil loves to attack this doctrine because he knows how foundational it is. False religions are built on either many gods or a false picture of one God. Hinduism has millions of gods. Islam denies the Trinity and says that Allah is one, but not Father, Son, and Spirit. New Age spiritualities tell us that you yourself are divine, dissolving God into everything. But the Bible says there is one God, eternal, holy, unchanging, the only God who saves. And let's not forget, even with Christianity, heresies have sprung up when people try to deny or twist the unity of God. Tritheism says that there's three gods. Modalism says that there's one person with three masks. Both deny what Scripture clearly reveals. When you worship, you are not scattering your devotion to different gods. You're giving your heart to one God who is worthy. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8 says, "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to idols." That's why idolatry is so serious, because it fractures what belongs only to him. When we confess the Trinity, we're not diluting our worship. We're not splitting it into thirds. We're worshiping the one God who is Father, Son, and Spirit. So what does this unity of God mean for us? Well, let's get practical. The unity of God means that your faith is not scattered. You don't have to wonder which God to pray to. There is one God. He hears you and he answers. Your salvation is secure. The Father doesn't have one plan while the Son has another and the Spirit has a third. They are united in saving you, keeping you, and glorifying you with Christ. Your life has purpose because God is one. Truth is not relative. Morality is not shifting. His word is settled, and your foundation is firm. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, "Yet for us there is only one God, the Father from whom are all things, and we exist for him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we exist through him." If there's one God, that means there's only one way to him. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among mankind by which we must be saved. One God, one way, one salvation. That's why Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can't come through idols. You can't come through religion. You can't come through good works. You come through Jesus Christ alone. As you meditate on the unity of God today, let it strengthen your confidence. He is not divided. He is not unstable. He is not one way today and another way tomorrow. The Lord is one. And because He is one, you can trust Him with your whole life. So let me challenge you. When you pray today, declare out loud, the Lord is one. There is no God but you. Let that confession push back against every idol, every lie, and every counterfeit voice that is in this world. And tomorrow, we'll move forward and talk about the distinction of persons, how the Father is not the Son is not the Spirit, and the Spirit is not the Father, and how we see all three working together throughout Scripture. So until next time, stay faithful, stay bold, and remember that you too have been awakened to deliver.
Thank you for listening to Awaken to Deliver. We pray today's message has encouraged and equipped you in your walk with Christ. To stay connected and explore more content from Awakened Bible Ministries, please visit the link tree in the podcast description. If this podcast has blessed you, please consider leaving a rating and review. It helps others discover this message of faith and encouragement. Awakened to Deliver is entirely listener-supported. If you feel led to partner with this ministry, you can give a one-time donation through Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal, or become a monthly partner through one of the tiers on Patreon. All giving options are available through the link tree. Your support helps spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us tomorrow as we continue diving into God's Word together.